from the department. Each department, when we realized that we could have anywhere from 250 on up in a deficit, we asked the agencies, each one of them, to bring to us everything that they do. We know from our budget office everything they do, but we ask them, because they deal with us every day, to prioritize their most important things from the top down, and we would start going from the bottom up. But because we've gone so far already in health and human services, anything we touch in there is very painful right now. But because it is one of our biggest agencies outside of education, we have to go there. And we don't have the money to do federal match programs right now. So we're going to take the ones that hurt the least. We're going to have to not probably use some of those this time and try to get us. Over the years, we've picked up federal programs where we might have to match. And Jim's heard me say this, and you have many times. Take, for instance, a program that costs $29 million. We have to match $3 million. They give us $26 million. And in 5 years, that program has a deadline, and we've picked up a $29 million program, and our economy hasn't changed one bit. People in the state of Montana aren't making any more. So how are they going to pick up a $29 million program? One of the things with this $250 million deficit, I looked to try to find out in the spending that we know we will be doing, and the cuts that we know we'll be doing. We know that there are 470-some thousand income taxpayers in education. When I met with education, they asked for $124 million worth of new programs, new, outside of what we have already. So we figured out what this would cost each income taxpayer in the state of Montana if we were to fund $124 million worth of new programs. It's $258 per income taxpayer. So guess what that would be on $250 million if we just did it by raising revenues. You cannot tax yourself out of revenue, so we do have to make the tough choices. And there are some good things happening in our state. There truly are. Our jobs are up 4,000 this year over last year.
Unemployment is down.
Unemployment is at 3.1. That's the lowest it's been for 33 years. Our income growth is higher than only one other state's higher us than us in the nation on income growth. We are turning this around. We are going to work. We work many hours a day, and we're going to work tirelessly to get jobs into this state so we can create a different economy.
And maybe I'm stating the obvious, but, you know, the administration is presenting its budget to the legislature. It's not as if the administration can unilaterally impose a budget. And so, you know, folks will be, I'm sure,
lobbying
in mass at the legislature. So let's go. I'm sorry, Governor. Let's go now to a call from Bozeman. Thank you for waiting.
Yes, thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to talk to Judy Mart.
Thank you.
I know you have a problem, and it's a tough decision for you, but I'm calling to represent an industry that I'm a part of, and that's an industry that does bring in quite a bit of money into the state, though we're not always recognized, and that is photographers. Recently, Travel Montana, we have found out, has entered into competition with many of us photographers by giving away their photography for free, and this has cut into our industry. And I know you're an advocate of making sure that the public sector doesn't have to compete with government. We know that it has definitely has cut into the income of many of the photographers of the state, and at the same time, we also feel that this may also be an area where the state can bring in funds by being able to charge for the photography that, of course, the taxpayers, including us, the photographers, do pay. Have you heard or been notified of any of this action?
No, but would you stay on 1 second, because I do have a question. Are these pictures or photographs that we have purchased from the photographers, and the state now owns them and owns the negative?
No. These are photographed by people that do work for Travel Montana. And it's also I spoke to a photographer that has told me that the Montana Board of Film Industry has staff photographers where even the photography that they're taking is being sent out for free, competing with location photographers for movies. And, you know, a lot of these movie industry, or at least these movies that do come to Montana, have huge budgets. They can afford to pay to hire a private photographer to go out and do the photography for them.
I would really have to check on this, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd really like that you'd write some of these details down, send them to me personally so I can look into this.
Mm-hmm.
If the state is paying a photographer to take those, we're paying for the film, we're paying for the time, that might be the reason, but I can't mm-hmm. say that to you because I don't know all the details, but I would be very glad to check them out and get back to you with the answers of why we are. I know we're trying very hard to attract show business to the state of Montana. Mm-hmm. They're all going to Canada right now.
Right.
And I can find out more about this with just a phone call. And if you would write to me, just send it to me at the state capitol, I would very much appreciate looking into this for you.
That would be great.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's go now to a call from Billings.
Yes. We are a foster adoptive family and found out that our case manager is being laid off this week. And it's probably going to take a new case manager up to a year to get up to speed with what's going on with our daughter. And I understand that the case management has been transferred to a firm that is either owned or managed, and correct me if I'm wrong, by Governor Martz's nephew.
Who would that be? Do you have his name? I don't even know that I have family member that manages caseloads. If he does, he doesn't work for the state.
It's a private firm called Yellowstone Community Based Services.
Oh, they do that all separately. I have nothing at all to do with that. He's a very good man. He has been interested in young people for years and years. He's never had a conversation about this with me. He has never asked me to do anything. I was unaware that he had anything to do with these at all. So if the implication is that we've got something going here in the family, you are absolutely wrong, caller. And I'm going to let Gail talk to you about your caseworker being laid off. But do not presume. You know what that makes of both of us.
Just a couple comments on this. The Division of Addictive Mental Disorders has had historically some cost overruns, and they've had to reduce services. So what they've tried to do is reduce services that are a little bit further away from the absolute direct ones. And so one of the things that they've also tried to do is be more cost effective. And so I hope I get this right. They have contracted with five different agencies to do case management. And in the past, we've had a lot more than that have been involved. And so what we're trying to do is reduce the number of them so we can be a little bit more cost efficient. But I'd have to emphasize that, you know, anytime you have cost overruns and you have to make reductions, I mean, there's pain with this. It's, as I did indicate earlier, we have 30 positions vacant in social workers throughout the state of Montana. We have 206 positions vacant in our office. Now, this happens to be ones that we're contracting for, but you're going to see some reductions in services. And that's because we simply have more needs than we have money.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. In case you've just joined us this evening, in our studios, Governor Judy Martz and Gail Gray, Director of Department of Public Health and Human Services, and as always, my co-host and colleague, Jim Gransberry, agricultural and political reporter for the Billings Gazette. Don't want to forget you're here, Jim.
Well, and I got a couple of requests today for our legislative show that we do when the legislature is in session, so you know I hope that you're planning for what we're going to be doing in January, February, March, and April, Jackie.
The Jackie and Jim Show from the legislature.
What's happening in Helena?
Woohoo, yeah. Woohoo. Okay. Well, that's a nice segue because we do have a caller from Helena. So let's go to Helena. Thank you for waiting.
You bet.
Hello.
Hello.
I would like to thank both Gail and Governor Martz for taking this call. First of all, I hear a lot tonight about you saying that we just don't have the funds statewide to match the federal matching funds programs or many of the federally funded matching programs that we have. My question goes mostly towards our mental health programs, more specifically our Montana Mental Health State Program, which is being slowly stripped down for the next 2 years. I am trying to lend a voice to those who benefit from this program. I have benefited for the last 2 years from this program myself. I, in my late 20s, after having a very successful career in middle management, was struck by an onset of manic depression, bipolarism. I have been successfully treated for the last 2 years with the help of the Mental Health State Program, and it has really been a miracle for me. And I am, it's going to be very hard for me, and I know for many, many others who have been have been helped by this program to get by for the next 2 years while this program is stripped down, namely starting December 1st, the prescriptions program will only be paying up to $250 or will be covering $250 of prescriptions. Now, I don't know if you know this, but many of the psychotropic drugs that they prescribe nowadays are extremely expensive.
Right. Okay, caller. Let's let Gail address many of the concerns you've raised.
Okay. Let me just start with what we're spending in mental health. And as I indicated a little bit earlier, in the last 10 years, we've moved from $60 million a year to $120 million a year. So the state is spending more. The difficulty is that there just are more needs, and we also have more options and more. When you talk about the psychotropic drugs, we didn't even have them a number of years ago, and they're wonderful things. But we're starting to have to look at some of those. When we entered the last biennium, when Governor Martz first came in, she was faced with a $16 million supplemental in mental health. I mean, there wouldn't be any way to even pay that at this point. I do want to talk about a couple of things that we're doing. We're working on refinancing, and refinancing is a fancy term for trying to figure out how to get the federal government to pay a bigger share of this. And we think we're being pretty successful, particularly in the area of developmental disability services and in the child protective area. We are looking in the area of prescriptions for bigger purchasing pools, and in also another area which we feel is just plain not equal protection is that we get drug rebates from companies that come back to the state as part of the cost that we've paid with Medicaid, but we haven't gotten any for psychotropic drugs. And so we're trying to push that, saying, wait a minute, this is only fair. This mental health drugs are just as important as the physical health drugs. So we're looking at that as well. But I can't emphasize enough that we're spending more in this area, not less. It's just that we have more needs, and we have more ways to meet them. I do just one more comment. Do want to talk about something that we did do. We tried to change our prescription drugs from a copay to a coinsurance to a 5% coinsurance. It was too much, too hard. And so what we did is we backed off and had a limit of $25 a month, which is still a lot of money if you're low income, but $25 a month as the maximum amount that a person would pay on their medication. We think that's been pretty helpful.
Jim?
Well, I'm going to only be half facetious here, but I would suggest that for a number of reasons, running legal drugs out of Canada is going to be an entrepreneurial opportunity.
Right. I should also mention, too, when I had a conversation with Congressman Denny Rehberg, he and other members of Congress are looking at giving states or individuals or businesses the opportunity to pool to try to gain more leverage so they have a stronger bargaining chip with the pharmaceutical company. So I throw that out. I realize it's on the federal level, but they know what states are going through.
Jackie, that's one of the things that we're looking at, whether it will be a Northwest United States, our purchasing pool, or something that's got to be larger than the state of Montana. I just wanted to add one additional thing in the area of mental health, and this is a proposal that we're looking for input on. In fact, every single page of cost proposal reductions that we have at the top says draft, work in progress, for discussion purposes only. And so that's why we're here, is to hear people's input. But my point is, one of the proposals is to reduce the number of beds available at the state hospital in Warm Springs to 135. down from, well, we're only funded for 165, and we've been having approximately 189 beds filled per day. Reducing that down to 135 and having three regional areas where they have 15 beds, whether they have them in a hospital or with, wherever they have them, and having the private industry bid on that so that we would have 135 beds at the state hospital. We would have three different 15-bed facilities, and we would be able to get Medicaid for the Medicaid match, that three-for-one match with those 15-bed facilities. So we think that's something that will be very, very good and also keep people closer to home and not have to go to the state hospital until it becomes absolutely essential. The one thing I want to emphasize on that is that we're not talking about people having to start in these 15-bed facilities if they've been involved in some type of crime or they're a danger or it's a forensic placement.
All right. Yeah, and we do appreciate the caller from Helena.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Let's go now to a call from Livingston.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for waiting, sir.
Well, before I offer a positive suggestion here, I would like to take issue with your characterization of the federal government's withholding a portion of highway funds as an unfunded mandate. I would say that that's more of a conditional funding, and that it's more in the order of extortion rather than blackmail.
I appreciate the distinction.
Thank you, sir.
We get printed up.
Individuals getting pushed around by local and state governments are quite used to it. The state government, I guess, has to take it from the feds every once in a while.
We get printed up when we use words like that, so I'm glad you used that.
And now to the positive suggestion. Sometime in the mid-70s, the legislature decided to characterize any parcel of land 20 acres or larger as agricultural and has been taxing it on that basis. And this has created some terrible inequities in the tax system. And I have a very specific example here. There are two adjacent properties located on the West Boulder River in Park County, both front on the river. Neither has any structures. One parcel is 16 and a fraction acres in size. The other is 21 and a fraction acres in size. In 2001, the real estate tax bill on the smaller lot was $1,047 and change. The same year's bill for the larger lot was $11 and change. And now, neither of these lots is truly being used, can support a family agriculturally.
It's enough to starve a horse, as Jim Gransbury would say.
And if you consider how many instances of this are exist within the state, and if people were taxed appropriately, I think the fellow who's paying over $1,000 wouldn't feel like he's being taken advantage of. Now, I've seen ads where real estate people have pitched this inequity to out-of-state people. Come to Montana, buy some acreage, and live off the chumps. Now, I don't know. I've discussed this with former legislators, and apparently there's somebody's ox who would get gored if this inequity were eliminated. What's your opinion on this?
First of all, we live on a piece of land that's 21 acres that we bought many, many years ago, and the only way we could even consider that as being an agriculture is if we produced an agriculture product and we had to prove that to be able to be considered agriculture. So I'm not so sure that that's absolutely right. I would not say, I think Jim Gransbury knows all about this. He keeps raising his hand. Is that right, Jim?
Well, I hope that I do. One of the things about Montana that has been good over the years in terms of taxation is that we have taxed land on its actual use and not on its potential. In other words, if you have 160 acres of dry land, which is could be planted to wheat, you are still only taxed on its agricultural productive potential. And there, we went through a reorganization or a revaluation of agricultural land here a few years ago, and we narrowed the categories down. You know, we have dry land crop and irrigated crop and dry land range, and then within each one of those, then there is three categories, each based on the potential for its actual agricultural production.
Well, I recall, as you do, that in the early 70s, a person had to prove up their agricultural status, and I think at that time it was $1,500 in production a year. But with the with the revision that deemed any 20 acres or larger as agricultural, that that requirement was eliminated, and the fact that this inequity does exist despite the perhaps the myriad of agricultural classifications is the example that I've given. I don't imagine the $11 and change really pays for the accounting necessary to bill this person.
The arbitrary figure which has been chosen, being 20 acres, would still be arbitrary at whatever level that we set it. And I would think that most Montanans would object to a valuation system that was based on potential. And if you want to know how really hairy it's going to get, the governor is pulling out some of her hair over the whole idea of the reappraisal that's coming down the line next January. And with that, we have such an imbalance of valuation adjustments, say from Carter County in eastern Montana and Flathead County in northwestern Montana, that there is no way I can think of that we can have a policy that addresses the inequities of those valuations. We went through this the last time with the valuation, in which they tried to have a makeshift or a bill which was declared unconstitutional because of its in unequal treatment of like land. The point that you are just making yourself, and it's going to get worse.
I agree with you that people would and should object to taxation on the potential use, but the old system that required actual use, I think, would be a more appropriate in this situation. Here's a person whose land could not, in any reasonable sense, be used agriculturally to sustain a family.
You are correct,
and in truth, is worth quite likely some hundreds of thousands of dollars, and yet is being taxed at a pittance, where a fellow right next to him with acreage just fractionally smaller is paying what would appear to be an appropriate tax.
And if you have a solution to this problem, I know that there are several legislators who will pay you good money for it.
We appreciate you, caller, very much for bringing this to our attention. Thank you.
Thank you.
Certainly an interesting thing to pursue. You've got many things on your plate.
We've put together a task force to take a look at the inequities and see if there's some kind of recommendations we can come up with. But you're absolutely right, Jim. When you take, say, Eureka, how are they going to compete with the, and how are you going to justify or balance that out at all?
I mean, even neighbors.
With the Whitefish. That's
even,
exactly.
Even neighbors. And one piece of property can have a well, but
Another
absolutely cannot. Yeah. Because they've drilled and drilled and drilled and can't hit water. So, I mean, there's so many things
to take
into
problem.
Account.
But I appreciate the caller calling in.
Very
and,
creative.
And Jim's recommendation, though, is I do not make the laws, but the people that are around there, the legislators, need to be hearing from people on this very issue, and then the legislators, or they can get a hold of the members of our task force. They can look in the Montana webpage and find the task force that will be working on the reappraisals and send in any comments to them as they go through the process.
I should mention that we are going to go until 8 o'clock, and we really appreciate our guests, Governor Judy Martz and Department Director Gail Gray, for staying with us for an hour and a half. We appreciate that. Before I go to our next caller and Shepherd, I just have to ask this question because it's sort of a follow-up to what this previous caller brought up. If the state were to get more revenue through reappraisal of property, would you support that? I mean, or do you think that the property taxes should stay low? For example, if property owners on Flathead Lake or in the Bozeman Pass area, for example, see their property taxes rise because property taxes are now market value driven. I mean, would you accept that, or do you think people should have this expectation that status quo, you know, what I paid this year is going to be the same next year?
Here's what I'd really like to see. If I could have my wish, here's what I'd like to see. This state has not done tax reform ever. They've never done entire tax reform. We are proposing, and we're not there yet. When people say, I do not like your tax plan, they don't even know what it is. I haven't proposed exactly what it will be. But in the end, if we reduce income taxes by 10%, we will reduce the capital gains. We then have, if we have a local option tax, which will be voted on by the people in each community, Whitefish, for instance, has a local option tax. They raise more money than they had anticipated now for 3 years. The money that they raise that's over that goes against the property tax and lowers the property tax in the communities. That's what I'd like to see, where we are lowering our taxes, our property taxes, by the way we are doing our tax system in the reformation. In the long run, I would like to see that, and I hope people will really look at our tax reform package as it comes out, because we are 46th in per capita income. We're going nowhere fast. We are not able to create good-paying jobs and attract good businesses and keep good businesses in the state.
The only reason, Governor, I bring it up is because you know how it is. It's like, tax the other guy, right?
That's exactly
people
right.
Have these vacation homes.
Yes.
You know, along Flathead Lake. I'm not picking on them necessarily, but, you know, when the state is so strapped for cash.
Do you know what would be nice, Jackie? In this reduction of the 10% on income taxes, take it down to, say, 6.8 or 6.9. There are people that own these vacation homes that say to me clearly, I can't tell you how many times I hear that. If your income tax wasn't at 11%, I would move here. But if it is lower, we may get some of their income by letting them move here. So that also would create a different level of income coming in.
I don't want to hold up our callers, but I do have a solution to offer to this, and
good.
I shall do it. But let's go to our callers.
Oh, Jim.
No, I'm serious, because I don't. It'll okay. take some time, and these people are waiting on the
okay.
line. And before we go off the air, I will give you time.
Thanks, Jim. Let's go now to a call from Shepherd. Thank you for waiting.
Hello. Yeah, this is Dan Seamers, and I'm from Shepherd. I studied concretions. They dug them up October 14, 1973, and they scattered them about the lawn on the Metra. Biggest one was 15 feet in size, and they lined the rim rocks in between the season lines. The Indians used to study this, and what they would put in the caves is what they studied.
Uh-huh. Now, do you have a question for the governor?
Well, actually, there's a 2.5 million pound sea turtle pet.
Oh, I guess we lost a caller. Sorry about that, sir. Let's go to a call from Livingston. Hello?
Good evening.
Hello.
I hope you all are doing well this evening. I was calling in because I did write the governor about the concerns I had regarding the DPHHS cuts, and I did talk to a department person earlier this week and offered my suggestions for helping to, mitigate the cuts. And I do realize that there has to be some cuts. But I hear again and again in some of the explanations and the reasons why we have to do this that, you know, constitutionally the budget has to be balanced, and I do understand that. But I don't hear a talk or any discussion about the alcohol tax or the gambling tax or the
so-called sin taxes.
Tax, you know, and the sin tax.
Where have you been? They're out there every single day.
I know that. I smoke. I pay it. but I mean, just increasing those so that, you know, that we can fund some of these programs. I understand there's going to have to be some scaling back, but, you know, and the constitutional piece that I'm getting at is you can also balance the budget that way and aim it specifically at the department, and those are very targeted taxes, you know, and no one likes to pay taxes, but I mean there's other things out there besides income taxes, and you know when you're talking in terms of constitutionality and balancing constitution needs, I mean clearly in section 3 of the constitution folks are guaranteed health. It says seeking their safety, health, and happiness in all lawful ways. And some of these cuts, I'm afraid, go too deep. I mean, the other cuts that we did in the special session and everything like that went too deep. And I would hope that at some point the sin taxes are considered. I would really like to hear your input on that.
Go ahead, Governor.
Michelle, we're listening to everything. You know that.
I do.
We're listening to everything. So the question is really a moot question. We're listening to everything. We'll look at everything that comes across our desk. It's very easy to say tax the other guy. You're saying you smoke, so
I do. Yeah, I smoke.
Easy,
I will.
It's easy for us all to say tax the other guy on a sin tax. I wonder when it'll be Coke. I wonder when it'll be ice cream. I wonder when it'll be my cheeseburger.
I've been thinking about that. You know, you've been taxing my beer for a long time.
That's right. We do tax your beer and we tax your alcohol
and the
maybe
hot dog.
Maybe you should tax the pop.
Well, and you know,
they tried last year to do potato chips in Washington, D.C. It's coming.
And seriously, the senior citizen lobby has looked very seriously at soft drinks here in taxes
right.
here in Montana as well as elsewhere.
I'm wondering, too, if we can follow up, Governor, because